have a woman in the studio. We told you she was coming up, and she is just, I don't even know how to describe her, just business savvy. I'm so excited to meet her. Please put your hands together for the creator, the brainchild, the woman behind Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and New York, Mona Scott Young. Yeah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
We're awesome.
Now, you kind of like, you know, wear the badge, or like actually the shield, rather, of having to deflect a lot of comments and things that people have to say about your program. Because some people think it's the greatest thing that ever came to reality television. And then you have some people that feels like it's single-handedly destroying the black race.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've heard that. Yes.
How do you feel about that? Does that hurt you? Because I'm sure that when you set out to do a project, you don't want the end result to be negativity.
I mean, absolutely. That definitely is something that, you know, resonates with me, because I do take, you know, what I do seriously, and I like to be able to, you know, have pride in it. But I do stand behind the show, and I am proud of the show, and I know that there are people who have differing opinions, and I also welcome all of those opinions, because I think that it definitely stimulates dialogue. But, you know, I have very definite thoughts about that, which I'm sure we'll get into as we talk.
All right. And just for people that did not know, Mona Scott Young is a former president of Violator Management, where she managed 50 Cent, Missy Elliott, LL Cool J. What other artists?
Busta Rhymes, Fantasia, Maxwell. I mean, over the course of my 18 years career in music. Right. We had quite a few, you know, outstanding acts come through at Violator Management.
Gotcha. So, when you set out to do the Love and Hip Hop, you know, franchise, did it take a shape of its own, or did you guys, did you know it was going to be the conflict that it ended up being, like in between everybody?
Yeah, no, I don't think that, you know, we set out to make a controversial show. The show had a bit of an evolution. It started out as something different. And over the course of time, because I came in probably 2.5 years into the network trying to develop a show around Jim Jones.
Okay.
And for, you know, a number of reasons, that didn't happen. And during the course of that time, the network's demographic had changed. And there were these slew of female ensemble cast shows that were gaining popularity. So when I came in and we shot the pilot, you know, we found that Mama Jones and Chrissy were very dynamic as, you know, personalities and characters. So I built a cast around them and changed the profile of the show, so to speak, and it became more about a female ensemble, you know, cast of women navigating the hip hop world, their relationships, their love of the business, and their love of the men in the business.
Gotcha. And what a perfect person to do so, because you're right there in it. So a ton of people, Rick, I know you got questions. Ton of people have questions. You can hit us up 1-866-9-RICKY, 1-866-9-RICKEY, if you want to speak to Mona Scott Young. And we'll be back, and we're going to talk more specifically about your shows and the characters, if that's cool.
Wonderful.
All right. Yeah, we have Miss Mona Scott Young in the studio. I'm telling you, Twitter's going crazy. People are calling, have questions for her. She's the creator, of course, of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop New York. We doing another city?
No, for right now, we're focused on the New York and the Atlanta.
Okay. What you got, Rick?
Yeah, I just want to ask, like for real. First of all, congratulations to all of your success. And let me just say, I'm not a hater, and I support everybody, and I want to see everybody do well and make money.
Well, thank you. But
it's a big but, and you already know. Why the fighting? Why does the show have to resort to going, like, just being so gutter? And it's just so bad. It's a bad look for black people. And you know, I'm a historian, and I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and I understand black history, because a lot of people will never know where they're going if they don't know where they come from. And I know what a lot of people went through just where we could have what we have, and what a lot of people had to do just where we could be on television. And to get the opportunity to be on television and to support and to help our projects and support our records and anything that we're trying to promote or whatever. You know, the fighting, the women fighting, the guys fighting, the abortion, the you know, because I just have this thing where all money ain't good money. And
so you're saying, you know, we have a platform for TV, then why would it be used?
An opportunity to do something positive. It's like, I can't support that, you know. And I love Lil Scrappy. He's a good friend of mine, him and Mama D, you know. And but I just can't, you know, go on record and say I really support that show. And my Twitter is blowing up, and everybody want me to ask you, why does the show have to be so gutter, and it's painting a negative picture of African Americans?
I mean, listen, I've heard that over and over again. And the point of the show was not to represent all African Americans living in the United States.
But that's what it's doing, love.
Okay, I don't think that's what it's doing at all. I think it's very clear that these are these women's stories. It's set in a specific world. And I don't think that there's anybody who's navigated that world who will deny that these are the things that actually happen. Just because they don't air on television doesn't necessarily mean that they're not happening. And I think that there are tons of shows that show different slices of life that, you know, represent African Americans in different ways.
Yeah, but we're talking about this one.
But this is exactly,
about love and
so we're
Atlanta.
Specifically talking about what goes on in this world and in these women's lives. And so, you know, people are going to have their opinions and don't agree with it, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening. And I think, you know, people ask me, well, why don't you want to do something more positive?
Yeah, but here's the thing. We all know that is happening. White people don't live in our communities and know what go on in the hood, but
sweeping it under the rug
like
doesn't mean that it's not happening. And again, when people ask me about,
question is so after the fighting, where's the solution?
If you watch the season, there are solutions. These women come to realizations they may not have come to had they not had an opportunity to look at themselves objectively. I think people came to rash decisions without watching the entire season.
Because the reunion's coming up, right?
The reunion's coming up, but even watching the season, there's nobody who can say that they didn't see a tremendous amount of growth. I mean, when you talk about a woman like Jocelyn, who lived the majority of her life on the streets and in the strip club, when she got her very first check, this woman cried because she had never gotten a check. She'd only had dollar bills thrown at her in a strip club. This is somebody now who has been given an opportunity and a platform. I certainly didn't put her in the strip club, but I'd like to think that to some extent, you know, her having this opportunity helped her get out of it. So I think it's really subjective, and you get from it what you want to get from it. But for me, when people say, well, why don't you do something more positive? When I watch the progress that they engage in, when I watch how far they come, when they're able to make changes in their lives, for me that is positive, and it doesn't represent the entire scope of everything that I'm ever going to do in television.
And you're saying that the show is not scripted at all.
And we also minimized it this season. If you watch the show, you'll also see that we scaled it down. Are there still explosive moments? Absolutely. This is how they chose to express themselves in those moments, but we tried to edit it down tremendously so that it wasn't just rife with violence. But you know, I have an issue when people think that these women's stories should not be told. That's an issue for me.
But I have an issue, and a lot of other people have an issue seeing women on television fighting like dogs in an alley, you know, like that. So you're not the only one to have issues. We have issues with it too. So my thing is, and I'm not telling you how to do your show. I'm just saying, if you have a counselor to come on at the end of an episode or a positive or some kind of solution, talking about the season. I'm talking about from week to week basis. That's what people are left with. And now we got young people. We all have a response. I don't even agree with all of the music that we play on the red, but these songs are in the computer and we have to play it. So what we do, we take some of these songs and we try to, that's why we do a praise break to try to maybe use some of the hip hop music to try to get something positive in to talk about, health and breast cancer. You know, you got voter suppression out here, you got domestic violence out here, you got cancer, you got hypertension, and you know, you got all of these issues out here in the black community that we have the opportunity to address, and they're not getting addressed. And you got a show with that kind of ratings, and the people are watching it just because people on here fighting and strip clubs and abortions.
That's part of the issue too, the fact that it is because the show has broken record numbers. Do you find yourself, just as a woman, sometimes conflicted with what people somehow, like what Ricky's saying?
Absolutely, because I don't necessarily subscribe to the way they handle things all the time. But there's also a constant behind-the-scenes dialogue that I have with these women. And again, I stand by the fact that they do experience much growth by the time they come through the experience. Every single one of them, and I'm sure you've had them on the show, they've been on other shows, mm-hmm. talk about how it's not something that they regret doing. They've looked at their lives differently. They've made certain changes in their lives, even going back to the New York show. And I'm not putting this forth like it's the ultimate therapeutic answer to everyone's problems. I'm saying that we're doing a show that's mainly for entertainment purposes that projects a certain life within a certain genre, and it's true to that. I mean, to some extent, I'm documenting what actually is happening in this segment of the population.
I understand that, but it is a representation
of all African Americans.
But
I have to keep making that point.
What I want you to understand, first of all, I'm proud of you being an African-American businesswoman and going out here making your money. Only thing that I'm saying is, and I'm speaking on behalf of the listeners and most of the people that's following me on Twitter, and from what I've seen, is that we have a responsibility to try to put something positive out here when we get these opportunities, because it's already bad in the black community.
And Ricky, there are tons of positive shows out there that I encourage people to support, but we are also in a supply and demand business.
Well, one of them is coming on September the 18th on TV1's called
Ricky Smiley
Show.
Don't you be trying to plug your show right now.
A good one coming on September 18th on TV1.
The Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Let me cut the music for a second. Let me say something, because, you know, let me respond to my attacks, the attacks. I'm a hater. Let me say something. So, a guy just tweeted me and said that something to the fact that somebody's making some money and I'm trying to bring them down. So, it's okay to have your dope boy drive through the project and sell crack to people in our community and got people shooting and killing each other. So, I'm a hater if I call the police and want to clean up my community.
I think that's an unfair analogy, though. I take a little bit of offense to that analogy, though, Ricky.
Well, what about the white shows? I don't care what white people do on their shows. I'm talking about us. I'm responsible
for my
community.
But I don't think it's responsible of you to make that comparison, because that's absolutely not what it is.
No, I'm not making the comparison.
Well, to use it as an analogy is misleading, and I definitely think that that was sending the wrong message.
And once again, it is 11 after the hour. We're talking to Mona Scott Young, the creator of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop New York. Now, what you did just say something interesting off the air, because you shared with me that you have two children.
Yes, I do. A 14-year-old and a 9-year-old.
And you do not allow them to watch the show.
No, I mean, it's not age appropriate for them. Much like I monitor the music that they listen to, I absolutely monitor what they watch on television. It's not appropriate for a 14 and a 9-year-old to be watching the show.
Now, I got a lady that's in the industry that have a question. Go ahead and tell us your name. She stopped by the station.
Hey, Mona. Hey, Mona. How you doing, girlfriend?
Good, thank you.
Turn the mic up a little bit.
So I have been in the industry for a while, and I know you. You might not know me, but I've just looked at you, and I have seen how successful you are and how you have shaped the careers of Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, and how you've gone in with Violeta. And I have seen you. I have stood back and watched how you have dealt with some heavy hitters in the industry and how you do your thing. And I'm very, very proud of you as in this industry. I think you're incredible. Not only that, just the relationships that you have with your girlfriends and how you really, 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 you know, care about your girls.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
But hold on, okay, Mona, and just hear me
I can accept the compliment and then wait for the brick to drop.
No, because I really respect you. I think you're pretty dope. But I am just very, I was very confused with Love and Hip Hop in New York when I found out that you were involved. Just because I have seen what you've done in the industry and how you would give an opportunity for females to represent themselves like that. For me, as a person that looks up to you, I was just confused.
Right.
As
so what's your question to her?
Well, I can.
No. It's not a question. It's just I just wanted to share with her my confusion.
Well, I'd like to address that if I can take a second. I mean, you know, I spent many, many years, like you mentioned, in this music industry working alongside these guys and also spending a lot of time with the women in their lives. And I watch these women, much like the ones that you see on the show, sacrifice so much, spend so many years vesting themselves in making sure that they were the backbone to these men. And for whatever reasons, you know, things happen, infidelities, a man waking up one day deciding that he doesn't like the color of their hair. These women are left with nothing. So this show started out as not just an opportunity for them to tell their stories, but also a platform for them to leverage the relationships that they had and a means of getting to wherever it is that they wanted to get to in their lives, because I feel like they've earned the right to do that. I feel like they've been there, they've spent years, they've earned the right to do that.
That may have been your intentions, but the way it has come across is very ratchet. And it is not indicative of the work that you've done.
I think ratchet is subjective, but I also think that these women are expressing themselves in the way that they see fit. So I'm not here to judge them.
Mona, we, you know, like, for real, I'm all for people making money. I'm all for people being successful. And we try to, and I'm not perfect either. Let me start with me by saying I'm not perfect. I'm not going to sit here out like I'm holy. Now, I cuss people out every day and have done some fighting in my life.
And so you play music that you don't necessarily agree with or subscribe to, but you're also running a business.
Right, but I don't pick the music, because if I pick the music, we wouldn't be playing half of this stuff. We'll be playing some
Missy.
Some stuff, yeah. With some,
well, Miss right, Scott.
Go ahead, Gary.
Miss Scott Young. Okay, now I mean you're getting a lot of attacks for this from this TV show Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Now you didn't create this show, correct?
Well, this show started out as
with
a show
four white
about
men.
No, I've seen that report, and that also is inaccurate. It started out as a show about Jim Jones that was dormant at the network. When I came on board, I developed it as an ensemble female cast, and that became the show that you now know, Love and Hip Hop. Okay. So I've seen that inaccurate account as well out on the blog.
Okay, we got some people that want to talk to you on the phone. Good morning.
My name is Honey, and I'm calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I wanted to know who built the character for Mimi and why they had to make her look so weak.
Okay, the character for Mimi was not built because she's not a character. She's a real person. This is who she actually is. We're capturing the people as they actually are.
All right. Good morning.
I'm Rachel from Mississippi. I wanted to know, is she working on any other future projects?
Absolutely. I have other television projects that I'm developing. I have scripts that I'm developing. I also have Missy Elliott as a client who I'm still, you know, managing.
16, how long has it been since she's...
Since she's been out about 6 years, but she and I have been together about 16 years. I've been managing her entire career, and we're getting ready to drop her singles Labor Day weekend, so there'll be some new Missy Elliott music on the airwaves soon, so I'm very excited about that.
Now, Missy was under the weather for a little bit. She's back to fighting weight, ready to get out there and do her thing
absolutely.
Again?
Absolutely. She's, you know, gotten her Graves' disease under control. She's in great health and great spirits. She and Timbaland took it back to Virginia. They've got an incredible body of work. We're really excited.
All right. I think we have one more. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Brianna. I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas, and I was calling to see why couldn't anything be added to the episode where Jocelyn got an abortion, as far as type of thing that could have given a positive image to those trying to get abortions or trying not to get abortions.
I mean, I don't think there's anything positive there. It's a very emotional experience. We tried to capture that, but we also didn't want to go so far as to continue to expound on it. So we captured how she was feeling post the procedure, and then we, you know, allowed her to move on with her life.
One more. Good morning.
Tyra from Toledo, Ohio. I have a question for Mona. I want to know, is there going to be a season 3 of Love and Hip Hop? And if so, is Diamond and Soulja Boy supposed to be on there?
I've seen a lot of rumors circulating on the blogs about who's signed up to do the show. That is not one of the things that has been confirmed. But as far as whether there'll be a season 3, I don't know. I got to make it out of Atlanta. I'm not sure I need to answer that question just yet.
Because I bet you do. But you know what I'm walking away
with? Actually, she probably meant a season 2 because we've only had one season.
What I'm walking away with is the show is, what you're saying, is not scripted. So
not
if
at
you
all.
Turn on cameras right now in this room and me and Headcrack or me and Ricky started fighting, there's really nothing you can do about that. You know, do you cancel the season because of the fighting? The second thing is, we can talk about it all day, but the ratings are...
They speak for themselves, and people are watching the show, and I think people are getting something different out of it. And for those people who, you know, don't want to watch the show, I respect that opinion. But I just don't think that the show deserves to be pulled off the air. It's employing a lot of people, and it's providing opportunities for a lot of people.
Mona.
Yes, sir.
Make your money, love. Just clean it up. Mona, we can have this conversation
ad nauseum, but, you know.
But, Mona.
I think the show
has a finite amount of time. And if all the people that say, I just talking about, I'm a hater, I bring every single person on this show every week, week after week after week, for the past 8 years we've been doing this morning show, and have shown everybody love, let people promote their albums, their CDs, other prank phone call CDs, even the competition or whatever. And the first time you don't agree with something, you know, you get cursed out. And at some point, where do we draw the line in the sand and say enough, enough? We go on, let these white networks go on there and make black people look bad. Now, you go now if you think I'm lying, you call Reverend Al Sharpton, you call Jesse Jackson, you call Pastor Freddie Haynes and some of our community leaders that do things in the community that really do stuff positive for black people and take a stand for black people, and ask them what do they think. Ask Tom Joyner what do he think. Ask Steve what do he think. Ask some of our community leaders and some of our pastors, some of our school teachers, some of our professors at these HBCUs, what do they think about it? Am I the only hater? Ain't nobody hating because you don't agree with something. You have to take a stand for what's right. And I'm not put on this, listen, I'm not put on this earth to be liked by everybody. And you don't have to agree with me. But we all have a responsibility. Even me have a responsibility to take a stand for what's right. If something goes too far, and something is too nasty. Don't let white folks exploit you. Period.
I mean, honestly, if we're having a dialogue about this, then I'd like an opportunity to interject, because as much as you're saying that you're unbiased, you're putting out very, very biased opinions. I think it's easy to get on a soapbox and point a finger, but I think that there are different experiences and different dynamics happening here that aren't being taken into consideration. I mean, these women have the right to tell their stories. And I don't think you've watched the entire season, so I don't know that you're qualified to make a judgment. You've already admitted you haven't watched the season, so how can you sit here and judge the show?
Not the whole season, but
by other people's opinions. And, you know, we all know the saying about opinions. I just think that people are going to take away from it what they want to take away from it. A certain amount of this is entertainment, and I think we have to take that into consideration. But I think if you watch the show, you watch the stories, you watch these women's lives transform in totality, there's no way you can walk away from this and not think that there has been some measure of growth. So it's easy to point a finger and say, we all need to be doing something. Well, I'm very clear about what I'm doing. I know how this benefits the people that are involved, all the jobs that are employed. I know the things that I do outside of this show that benefit my community. So okay, I just don't, not sit around and be.
If any black women out here that's looking for growth and trying to better themselves, love and Hip Hop Atlanta. If you want to grow and better yourself as a black woman, that's the show to watch.
That's a sarcastic analysis, but go ahead.
No, I'm just keeping it. I'm going by what you
know. You're not keeping it real, but it's all good.
Young. How can people reach you on Twitter and Facebook? I think
I think they have an easy enough time finding me on Twitter. I'll reserve.
Hey, Mona, thank you, though.
I do thank you. And you're
Don't take it personal. I
never take
everybody.
It personally. I'm very, very clear about what I represent.
And
so
just like
of this
you don't let your kids watch it, you're not the morality police. People have a choice as to what to watch.
It's easy to
and
be sanctimonious.
That means that people are watching.
If the show
wasn't
successful, we wouldn't have this dialogue.
Ain't nobody talking to you. So what? You need to get out of
bed. Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Ricky Smiley Morning Show.